From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this remarkable program we called Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, does Big Pharma want to cure the Big C? Ty Bollinger discusses with us with a remarkable story. He has lost family members to cancer. He's going to tell you what he did about all this. We also have a special Instapoll up at coasttocoastam.com at the website. Curious to see your response about Big Pharma. So go ahead and register your vote. Here's what's happening. Boy, a winter storm, Colossus, roared into the nation's heartland, laying down a paralyzing punch of dangerous ice and snow that served notice from Texas to Maine. The storm billed as the worst in decades. I believe it is. Ice-covered streets were deserted in the Super Bowl host city of Dallas. Whiteouts shut down Oklahoma City and Tulsa. More on the way. Chicago expected 2 feet of snow. Indianapolis, an inch of ice. St. Louis blasted. Kansas City blasted. And the Northeast, still more snow and ice on the way in what's shaping up to be a record winter for the region. And in Australia, officials are warning that Cyclone Yasi, which is approaching Queensland, is likely to be the most deadliest storm in living memory. Yasi has been upgraded to a Category 5 storm, the most severe level. People are evacuating by the thousands out there. Earth Changes media expert Mitch Batras with us. Mitch, what the heck is going on in this planet?
Well, let's start with what's going on in Australia. I'm glad you picked up on that. Many people don't understand the gravity of a Category 5. This is phenomenal. We hardly ever, ever see these. And this one is the average speed when they to reach Category 5 would be 155 miles per hour.
Wow. Can you imagine standing in that? It knocks you over.
It's going to knock you over. And right now they're experiencing 188 mile-an-hour winds, 300-kilometer an-hour winds.
Can a storm get even a higher level than a 5, or is that it?
It'd be off the chart. I mean, how much worse can you get with, quote, nearly all windows in any building will be blown out. Power outages will last for weeks, possibly months.
And this is on top of a country that's just been hit with the worst floods they've had in years.
It's a phenomenon, but you know, it's happening everywhere. I mean, God bless them in Australia. This is definitely one of the worst. Many people, I'm afraid, may perish. I took a look at the NASA photo of Yasi. It is almost as big as Australia itself. It's about two-thirds the size.
It's swallowing up the entire country.
It's swallowing up. But now we got all the stuff that's going on here, too, George.
Oh, my gosh. My kids are in St. Louis, Mitch. They call me. Everybody's snowed in. They can't get out.
They can't get out. My sister, just a related story, my sister lives in Dallas. And she's telling us her story that they're all in the making a mad dash to the grocery stores, and the grocery stores are empty.
Because the workers can't even get into the store.
Well, that's right. And rarely does DFW close. It's a very large airport, and they shut down for over 2 hours. Of course, Chicago got hit really bad, but Chicago's known for their airport shutting down.
Well, what's causing all this?
Well, I sound like a broken record, George, but here's the fact.
Here
we go.
Believe
me, I the way I approach this is in the arena of a peer review. So put me right in the middle, and I'd love to hear from the top scientists of the world, which I already have, and it's holding true. We are in the middle of a pole shift, a magnetic pole shift. The Earth, it's not a tectonic pole shift. It's not a crustal displacement. You know, we're not going to be thrown, we're not going to fly off into space. However, as we can see, it's a significant phenomena that we're going to experience.
Well, and it makes you wonder, Mitch, what the Mayans knew as we get closer to 2012. Mitch's website, part of our Twitter feed, at coasttocoastam.com, earthchangesmedia.com. I go there every day just to get updates on these earth patterns and conditions. Thanks, Mitch. In Egypt, here we go. President Hosni Mubarak defied millions of protesters demanding that he step down immediately, announcing instead that he will serve out the last months of his term and die on Egyptian soil. He said he would not seek re-election, but he did not calm the public fury as clashes erupted between his opponents and supporters. There are reports about 12 people injured out there. Generally, this has been pretty darn peaceful, but they don't want to wait. They want him out now. The 82-year-old Mubarak has ruled the country for nearly three decades. In a moment, Danyon Brinkley joins us to talk about Egypt and also the antiquities that are being looted out of the museum there. Five South Dakota lawmakers have introduced legislation that would require any adult 21 years or older to buy a firearm sufficient to provide for their ordinary self-defense. Now, the bill, if passed, would take effect January 1st of next year, which would give people 6 months to acquire a firearm after turning 21. The measure, well, what it would specify is it doesn't tell you what type of firearm to have, other than it says that the resident should pick one that is suitable to their temperament, physical capacity, and preference. Now, the sponsors of the bill don't think this is going to pass, but John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime here, if it does pass and you don't buy the gun, what are they going to do, John? Put you away?
Well, my understanding is it's going to be similar. We have six cities around their towns around the country that currently have these types of laws, and they have exemptions for people who are conscientious objectors who don't want to do it. But it still sends a signal to criminals, and in each of those times that something like this has been passed, you've seen a drop in violent crime rates across the board, just as with Chicago and Washington, D.C., since they've gotten rid of their bans, we've seen drop in crime in those places also. The point really here, though, is a comment on the Obamacare, and that is with the mandate, and they're just trying to let people know if you can go and mandate people to go and have to buy health insurance, the government could also go and mandate people to have to go and buy guns, which is, I'm sure, a real tweak on many of the people who support Obamacare. The last thing that many of those would like to have is for people to be mandated to have guns. So just that their legislation has consequences.
By the way, John, I understand that you and Chicago Mayor Daley are the best friends.
Oh, yeah, no, we go way back.
I saw that story, that article there. I couldn't believe it, that they basically pushed you because of your stance on guns and his anti-gun feelings.
Right. Well, Mayor Daley has had quite a passion about gun control for a long time, and my book, More Guns, Less Crime, hardly put me on his list of favorite people. But he took it so far when I was at Chicago to call up the president of the university and go through a long list of wonderful projects that he wanted to do with the university. And then at the end, after he's listed all those things out, say that my continued presence at the university was going to do irreparable harm between the city and the school.
Yeah, we're going to do all these great things. But John Lott's still there? So out you went, I guess.
Well, no, I'm not in Chicago. Had to leave.
Not at all. That's right. That's what I mean. Okay, John, thank you. John Lott, More Guns, Less Crime, reacting to the story in South Dakota where they are introducing a bill that require all South Dakota citizens to buy a gun, but it is not going to pass, they say. In British Columbia, sad story, 100 dogs were shot dead over 2 days after an expected post-Olympics boon in dog sledding business at an adventure company just didn't pan out. The gruesome event was described in documents awarding compensation to a worker who posted and claimed traumatic stress disorder for having to shoot the dogs after bookings dropped sharply for a tour operator following the 2010 Winter Olympics. In the news at coasttocoastam.com, probably one of the most heart-wrenching videos I have ever seen, a mother's grief over her dead baby, except it's a chimpanzee. You've got to look at the story. If you look, it's very sad, but chimpanzees apparently appear to mourn their dead infants just like humans, according to scientists. And there's video of a mother whose 16-month-old infant died. She comes up to it. She's trying to shake it. She's feeling the pulse on the neck. It is truly an unbelievable. And then other chimpanzees come up too. But that story is in the news at coasttocoastam.com. U.S. health regulators have rejected Orexigen Therapeutics, their weight loss drug, and requested a clinical trial to resolve heart safety concerns. This deals a stunning blow to what stood to be the first new diet pill in a decade for people with obesity. The company's stock plummeted today. Only about half of U.S. adults with high levels of bad cholesterol get treatment for it. Worse, not all those treated are managing to control the problem, according to new government reports. Here's our investigator, Christian Wild, on this one. So what does this all mean, Christian?
Well, we do need to control our cholesterol, George, as you and I know. But personally, I wonder how many people today that fell into that one-third category have lost their jobs, can't afford health insurance, and therefore are not able to take their medication. But we do need to control our cholesterol. So what can people do about it? You might remember some time ago, George, you and I talked about the Physician's Health Study.
Right.
And it documented that if you had high LDL cholesterol, which they talk about here, and high inflammatory markers in combination, you could be looking at a 300 to 500% increase in heart attack risk over the next 6 to 8 years.
That's huge.
That's huge. And we do need to control cholesterol.
Well, so if you're going to control it with the statins, you should take the supplement CoQ10, right?
You absolutely should take CoQ10. And if you don't, and over years of taking statins, you could very easily be leading yourself into congestive heart failure. So many patients might want to take advantage of very affordable alternatives from the natural community if they can't afford their meds or they don't want to take statins. A lot of people have had side effects. And so, as you know, I've written a good deal about natural alternatives and hidden causes of heart attack and stroke. But a lot of people just don't want anything to do with statin drugs. So, but they do need to take something.
All right. Well, just go to Christian's website, myheartbook.com. And you get the latest information on breaking medical news. The Large Hadron Collider is to continue operating in 2012 after officials drop plans for an extended shutdown at the end of this year. They think it's got a great chance of finding new physics in the next 2 years. Up next, we're going to Danion Brinkley to talk about Egypt. That's on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. If you've been with the program for years, you know Danion Brinkley, of course, writer, author, spiritual teacher. He has survived several near-death experiences. His not-for-profit organization, the Twilight Brigade, has trained thousands of volunteers to be at the bedside of our nation's dying veterans. He's a regular contributor on Veterans Night as well. Noted author, Secrets of the Light, Saved by the Light, At Peace in the Light as well. But he also knows Zahi Hawass quite well, who heads up Egyptians Antiquities. And he knows Egypt as well as anybody. And here's Danion Brinkley. Danion, what do you think of all this?
I think it's the beginning of a revolution that's going to move across Africa and the Middle East. When you watch this, I watch the news, George. Egypt, the Egyptian people love Americans.
Yes.
All this horror-based stuff that we're seeing is the collapsing of the old regime. I don't want to be a conspiratorialist, but if you go back and you listen to Zbigniew Brzezinski, he predicted this, that there would be a rise of the educated and middle class of the emerging nations, and they would see the dictatorships that have been supported by the elitist and the Bilderbergers and the trilateralists, and they'll begin to begin to rise up and take action against this. And if you look to see where Egypt, which is a country who loves Americans, if I was in Egypt today, because I was planning my, you know, my every other year I go to Egypt, mm-hmm. and I've been going there since 1973, I would have no problem of staying in Egypt as an American.
Well, the Egyptians, and we're talking about the people. They love Americans,
absolutely.
As you said. The Iranians,
absolutely.
The people love America.
I've been in Tehran. I've been in Iran. I've been in Baghdad. I've been in Iraq, Tunisia. I've been in Libya. I've been in Saudi Arabia, in Yemen, when it was north and south Yemen. I've been in every one of those countries. I've been in Syria. We have to watch now what's going to happen. The world, especially the controlling powers, are really frightening. They're frightened because if it works in Egypt, a very calm country, whose army, no matter what anybody says, would not stand up against the Egyptian people.
That's true. Now, here's the problem, though, Daniel. What are the possibilities that we will get somebody or some group in worse than Mubarak?
It won't happen.
You don't think so?
Absolutely not. The Egyptian people are different. You know, we make them all Arabs, but they're not. These are people who, after 30 years, and the way the elite of Egypt has existed, when you go there, you realize that people are living in the graveyards, that they've made homes in the cemeteries because of the lack of housing, the lack of water. They are living in the graveyards. Their livelihood is based on just trying to make it on $2 or $3 a day. The rising cost of food, if you go back and you look at what they said a couple of years ago, two things have to happen. You have to raise the cost of fuel, and you have to raise the cost of food. And this is the secret way to push a class down and to control it. It's still happening to us.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, look what happened in Tunisia. Now you have to watch Algeria. You have to watch Iran again. If it works in Egypt, and I live around a lot of people when I'm in L.A., Nigerians and Ugandans, and a lot of kids, not kids, well, they're 20s and 30s, but they're kids to me. And I listen to their conversation, and I watch them, Harona and a lot of these guys, who are watching this with a sophistication that we would have never had, George, and they're watching the political rise of consciousness. They are going to keep pushing until they push out these dictators.
You know what's funny, though? You know, they protest, and the dictator generally leaves. Mubarak wants to stay. I think he's going to have to leave before that. They're not going to let him stay until September, October.
No way. And here's what else you have to watch for, George. And here I am being a conspiratorialist again. You have to watch for the Muslim Brotherhood. That we'll hear that on Fox, and we'll hear it on MSNBC, and we'll hear it on CNN. They don't have the power of the intellectual class of Egypt. They don't have it. And what we have to watch for is this. We have to pay really, really close attention to these so-called Mubarak supporters.
Right. They're the ones that could cause the problems now.
These are the people who are the private police, who are trained and sent out. I talked to Sawat today shortly. I tried to call Zahi. It was too busy, too jammed.
Yeah, we've been trying for the last 2 days. We can't get through to him.
I called him at home. Okay, I got a hold of Sawat. This is what I wanted to say. When they started talking about people going in and breaking into the museums, it was 8 people. Not only did the citizens who are marching catch them, they surrounded the British, well, it's now the Egyptian Museum, but it was once the British Museum. Mm-hmm. They surrounded it in 2 layers deep. They caught the people who broke in, thugs. They beat them really well, and they turned them over to the police. This is not Iraq. This is not Afghanistan. This is not these places. This is peaceful demonstrations. Jordan just collapsed. You know, George, you don't hear anybody talking about what just happened in Jordan.
Well, he tossed out the entire cabinet. He's lucky he's still there.
I don't think he'll be there long.
No, okay? I don't either. By the way, I want to let you know that your dear friend and ours, William Henry and his wife Claire and the group that went to Egypt with him, he was on last night on his way to the Cairo airport. He has landed safely in London now, Daniel.
Thank God.
William is okay. He'll be coming back to the States. He's going to be with you at the Conscious Life Expo next week. So
I look forward to it because he knows exactly what I'm saying. I've made probably 30 trips there. I've been going there for more than 35 years. I'm good friends with these people. There is an elitist group who really don't know what's happening in the everyday life. We have to. I'll tell you something else that I heard from Sawat and Adele. And there is a large Egyptian community here in Los Angeles, and I called all of them. Everybody wants him out. Everybody over here wants him out. He's ruled too long. The biggest Gestapo, quote unquote, is the police force.
Yeah, no, you're right. Daniel, stay with us. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more. I want to get your take on Zahi because I think he would prefer Mubarak stay, and I want you to tell us why. And then we'll take phone calls with Daniel Brinkley. Of course, he's also the author of The Secrets of the Light, Saved by the Light. His near-death experiences allowed him to give some incredible prophetic visions of the future. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. Well, next hour, our guest Ty Bollinger joins us as we talk about Big Pharma. Do they really want to help us? It's an amazing story. Stand by for that. And we're with Daniel Brinkley. We're going to take your phone calls this half hour as well. I would guess that Zahi does not want this change. Daniel, what do you think?
You know, he has two sides to him, George. Zahi protects the antiquities of Egypt. They're his life. Although he and his wife and Susan Mubarak are good friends, Zahi will still be a patriot. And he may not want the system to change because he won't get to be as big as a personality as, I won't say any other word, but you know Zahi like I do.
Yeah.
It won't be as big a personality, but I don't think that whatever happens in this peaceful transition, we will see one more big burst of the so-called Mubarak supporters so that they can start something. But Zahi will hold his position. He didn't resign as a cabinet member. And I'll talk to him in a couple of days, and I've been reading his blog. I'll get to it. But when you watch what we are watching, we're watching a worldwide revolution begin.
Just starting, yes.
And every dictator from Tunisia who gave the same exact speech that Mubarak gave the night he got on an airplane, looted the bank, and left.
Would you consider this the same as the Iranian Revolution, which also was a peaceful takeover, wasn't it?
The Iranian Revolution just reached, you mean the one with Khomeini?
Where they got the Shah out and the Ayatollah in.
But the Shah was the most brutal. Shasha was the most brutal. And when General Secord went to get him, he had no chance. Remember, it lasted 1 month, and then Khomeini left Paris and came in. No, Egypt is a different country. It's a different country. The police force, George, has become the brutal dictators, creating sections of control. Have you noticed the army has done nothing? The police are the ones who are the most frightened. They have begun to be corrupt and controlling, and the elites don't even know what's going to happen. The recent Iranian support of what just happened when the last election was, when Obama did not support. He said, we support freedom, we support this. And when the election started failing and the people went to the street, he did nothing. I can promise you now, when President Obama left Cairo, and what he said is a part of what's causing people to rise up, for him to be timid in the face of dictatorship is a great blow to America. We must support people in freedom. If our gasoline is going to go a little higher, then so be it. We must break this yoke. You know, I'm thinking like a kid because Sean Murphy, the guy who's working with me, I'm at the VA now. I've been making rounds at the VA since just before Christmas.
And good for you.
We've been with 26 people, veterans who's passed from this world to the next. The things that troubled me, George, is the 6 suicides that we've been around, and none of these guys are over 30. But watching Sean as a 26-year-old kid and watching all these kids, the Nigerians and the Ugandans, these are the kids that I'm around, this is not going to stop. I think that February the 18th is the election in Uganda. People should watch it. They should watch February the 5th in Syria. They should watch what happens in Tunisia. But the peaceful power of what's going to happen, they're now demonstrating in Saudi Arabia. These monarchies that have controlled, just like you said in Mayan times, these monarchies are going to fall. This is going to happen. Obama, the president, and I don't mean to call him Obama, President Obama had better stand up for freedom, no matter what the world controllers believe.
Well, there's talk on WorldNet Daily, which has been tremendously opposed to him, that he might have been his administration behind this situation in Egypt, that they basically endorsed it, that they may have met with some parties behind closed doors. What do you think of that?
Never happened.
No.
They would never want to lose him. Why? Two things. Number one, if it's a peaceful demonstration that overthrows, no matter what anybody says, Egypt controls the Middle East. Those 80 million people control what happens. They have no oil, but what they have is a standing army. They sit on the border with Israel. When Sadat made the peace agreement with Israel,
which cost him his life.
But that was the Iranians who killed him. Those were Shias who came in and killed him. And the part was, what made me so proud of Sadat, who I admire to this day, is when he saw his own soldiers turn his guns on him, everybody ducked but him. You look at that video, you see him stand up and die like a man. This is what the Egyptian people stand for. This is who they are. Their peaceful demonstration, and they're going to start a revolution. I'd like to go back and make a comment about something that Mitch
said. All right,
said.
And then we'll finish it up with calls, Daniel. Go ahead.
I had a friend in Tampa who works for Fox News, and he was walking around, and they were remapping the runways, and he was waiting for his daughter to land, and they had one runway that everybody could land on in Tampa. The guy, not knowing he was a news reporter, asked a surveyor, what were they doing? He said, the magnetic pole, the true magnetic north pole, had shifted 40 feet to the east. And they were having to remap. They were having to remap all of the runways because of automatic pilots. So I followed up that, and now if you have an automatic pilot that you used to once have to calibrate every 2 years, you now have to do it about every 20
days. Oh, yeah,
they're
changing the airport in Tampa. First-time caller, Ellie in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ellie.
Oh, hello, George.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call, and I just want to tell you, first of all, that how much I admire the way you speak with you. So many diverse callers to your program.
Thanks.
The question I have is, I was just wondering if you could ask your guest about the King Tut exhibit, you know, with all its incredible gold and intricate designs and, you know, just a fabulous exhibit that's been here in the United States. Has it gotten safely back to Egypt? And where is it right now?
It is very safe. They broke two small pieces, and these were just thugs. They broke two small pieces. Zaghi says on his blog they can be repaired, but it was the citizens who captured these thugs. They roughed them up pretty good, only eight guys. They turned them over to the police, and then they surrounded the museum two layers deep so that no one could enter the museum.
Yeah, one of our guests last night, Stephen Mailer, said that those thugs were convicts that got out of jail during all of this mess. So they went and got them.
Well, and this is the whole point. This is the revolution. You will be reporting on this, George, literally every week now, from now to the 2012. You know, in the end of the galactic cycle, it says that all things not done and held in integrity will collapse. Well, we are watching. We watch religions and institutions and governments and banks in the United States. Now we're watching dictatorships. The only thing that's really got to be worried about is instability in Syria, which I don't think will be too bad. But you have to watch Egypt and Gaza. Egypt sits on the line of Gaza, and when you sit on that place where Gaza and you create that border back and forth, then Israel has to worry. because all of a sudden those people who are looking to create war, and I don't think it's the Egyptians or these middle class working college students, I don't think, George, they're the ones who want to instigate war. Now that we've heard that we're going to be in Afghanistan past 2011, past 2014, and now they estimate that NATO will be there past 2025. This is about what's going to happen in this new conscious movement the Mayans talked about and so many others.
Let's go to Greg in Lapeer, Michigan, east of the Rockies. Hey, Greg, go ahead.
George, hey, Daniel, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Daniel. I got a kind of a question and comment. Let's go with a little supposition first. Suppose these uprisings in Egypt and Tunisia, got to watch Yemen and Jordan. Suppose Mubarak steps out and they get somebody worse, like George said before, who is part of the Muslim Brotherhood, I guess.
Well, the entire Muslim Brotherhood, make no mistake, they're not that bad. The problem is some of them ended up being Al-Qaeda people,
right,
and went wild. But don't think that just the word Muslim Brotherhood is bad. 90% of them in that organization are trying to get this done peacefully. Daniel,
right,
am I correct?
There's no question, George. And not only that, they're the ones that's been feeding people, building and running hospitals, buying and importing medicines from so many different charities that we now cut off because they say they're terrorists. These are the people who came and were taking care of the people. I've been
right
there so many. I've been there so many times, George. I've been to these hospitals. I helped support a orphanage in Egypt for like 10 years. You know, I've seen this. I've been on the street. Zahi's wife is a pediatrician, and I've seen this kind of work of what these people are doing. I don't believe if the Muslim Brotherhood came to a vote today, they would probably get 20%.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And you would find educated middle class. So sorry, Greg, go ahead and finish.
Yeah, I got a little bit more. I didn't mean to really say that, you know, blanket Muslims in that generality, but suppose a group like AQAP or somebody that's nefarious to the United States, you know, got in power in that region. And with all these, like the shifts, all these, you know, flooding in Australia, and we're going through a storm right now, you know, we're getting dumped on with snow 2 feet and more. So with all of this, and from what I understand, suppose that area went into some kind of turmoil, whether militarily or whatever. And from what I understand, isn't the Antichrist supposed to come from the Middle East and sort of be a man of peace? And I know that George has talked about many times that he has a feeling of some kind of something happening, you know, something impending doom. And I have that feeling, and so many of us have that feeling.
And it could be these earth changes. I don't know what it is.
Could he come on earth?
Go ahead.
Well, all these things are building based on the planetary alignment, the 25,920-year shift of what we're going through as the cycle, as the Mayan calendar says. But, you know, you have to take a look at, and I hate to say it, but take a look at, like, look at our present-day Pope. Look at Tony Blair. Look at who's in the Middle East. Look at what these people are doing. The Holy Roman Empire. Watch Turkey. People are not paying attention to what's happened in Turkey. Turkey is in the midst of, it's always been the bridge, the old Byzantine Empire. What's happening in Turkey and its opinion of Israel? Israel is being surrounded again. You know, George, if people go back and read Saved by the Light and the Boxes of Knowledge, just like you said, and this thing about Big Pharma that you're doing later, I wrote about this stuff in 1975. It's in Saved by the Light. And all these things, I haven't missed very many of those Boxes of Knowledge. It's why I believe this revolution is coming. But I'd like to say something else, too. My wife, Catherine, is an absolute Crop Circle fanatic. And she treks to Crop Circles, and she was looking to, she's going to England and going to look at Crop Circles and taking tours over there. But do you realize that this Indonesian farmer had only left his field for 6 hours?
There's no way
and
people could go and make that.
George, you would, if you go and you really look at it, and you look how it's woven, the mat like it's woven, and how geometrically perfect it is, it would be impossible. And nobody in Indonesia gives a crap about a crop circle. But we had that massive flood. They had the earthquake there. They're having so much. And remember what Indonesia is. It's one of the big banking capitals. It's Muslim. You know, you have to start looking at where these spiritual power bases are and how they're beginning to be affected and shaken by the Mayan calendar, by the prophecies, you know, all the prophecies that we hear and we see, and by the magnetic shift and the change. We're watching a political and spiritual revolution in consciousness that was been foretold, and here it comes to happen.
And was it fueled by the internet?
Well, the internet, you remember it says in the book of Revelation that one day that the Antichrist can speak to the whole world.
Right.
They are calling this event in Egypt the Facebook Revolution.
I was going to say that. The Antichrist will probably post something on Twitter or Facebook, and the world will know about it in an instant.
Well, you know what would happen? It'd have to come on coast to coast before anybody's going to buy it and listen to it, and you will come at him just like if he was anybody else.
I would interview the Antichrist.
And
I would
he
do
would
that.
Lose. George, I want to tell you one other thing, because I know we're getting short.
Yeah.
Have you, because I've been with Coast to Coast like 1,000 years, I know you don't even have to have copy in front of you to say everything that you know about me. You can repeat it like blindly, and I just appreciate that. But what you're doing in this first hour and how you're reaching out to people and putting their voices of experts into play is a revolution. It's a revolution in where Coast to Coast is. I know Tommy really worked. I mean, Tom Danhauser and the staff and Lex, they really work hard gathering this data, putting up the news. But what you're doing by reaching out to asking people who are experts in these fields brings the audience closer. You should be very proud of that, George. And I'm always proud to participate. I'm going to talk to more of my friends, my Egyptian friends in the city of L.A., and listen to them. They're all in my age group, some a little younger. And I'll come back and give you a report.
All right, Daniel. By the way, I will see you at the Conscious Life Expo, and I do have the honor of introducing you at a special luncheon tribute for you on Saturday, Feb the 12th. And
well,
I'm looking forward to that.
I am, too. And you know what? Be blessed. And to the audience and to the family of Coast to Coast, not only stick with Coast to Coast for the updating breaking news, because I know that Tom and I know that George were trying very hard to get on-the-ground information, and I was trying to help. But tell your friends. Get more people involved, because this is a movement as strong as any other movement on the internet, on the airways, and to take part, participate, and be proud to be a person of the night.
Thank you. Daniel Brinkley, his update on what's going on in Egypt. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Ty Bollinger about Big Pharma, his work, cancer. Step outside the box. We'll be back.